Sermon text this morning is Isaiah chapter 6, 1 through 13. Isaiah 6, 1 through 13. Now hear the word of the Lord. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go and tell this people. Keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return, and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant, the houses are without a man, the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. And yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and be for consuming, as a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. The word of the Lord. Let us pray. In you, O Lord, we put our trust. Yahweh, you are in your holy temple. Your throne is in heaven. Behold and test the sons of men. Test us, your righteous ones. Hate those who love violence. Rain coals upon the wicked, for you are the portion of our cup. We pray, love righteousness and behold the upright. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. Boys and girls, your words this morning are worship and call. Worship and call. Brothers and sisters in the Lord Jesus Christ, this morning we begin a break. We're taking a break in our sermon series from Genesis, and we'll have some other sermons. We'll come back to Genesis after a time, and we'll take another chunk of Genesis. We're not going to preach Genesis 1 to chapter 50 all in a row. So take a break and come back to Genesis. This morning we begin a brief series on worship and related issues to worship and how the Bible shapes our understanding and our participation in worship. And this particular sermon series will be structured around our worship order, our liturgy, the covenant renewal model of worship. And the whole purpose of everything in creation, everything in life, begins with worship, with some kind of worship. In creation, God created all things for his glory and for his joy. The chief purpose of man, our chief end, is to glorify God and enjoy him forever. God made us to worship. God made us to set our hearts upon Him. Mankind, the image bearers of the triune God, we have the high privilege and responsibility to worship the God who created us. Our created beginning was for worship. Our path through life is growing in and through worship. We are not yet what we will be. And we'll get there by the grace of God in worship. The culmination of history, the end of all things, is the worship of God. Brothers and sisters, everything begins and ends with worship. Now, in the Genesis series, we've heard that life began in a garden. The first man and first woman, life began in a garden. And that garden, God made as a sanctuary space where human beings would meet with the true and the living God. And from that garden, the trajectory of history, the trajectory of humanity, concludes in Revelation 22 with a garden city. A sanctuary space that has changed. A sanctuary space that has been glorified due to the worship and work of man in service to God. So everything between garden and garden city in history, everything from going out and coming in is worship. Our Bibles are about worship. Now, the God who created us for worship has not left us to our own devices to figure it out, to see what we can come up with for worship. Yes, He is the Creator. Yes, we image Him by being creative. But He has revealed to us the worship He likes. He has told us, O man, what is good. This is how you worship me. The importance of worship, how it affects the world, how it affects us as people, He reveals that by His grace in His Word. And this is good for us. This is not burdensome. This is not to hold us back. This is how we honor God, and this is how He blesses us through His revealed Word. In the beginning, when God created the world, He established it with order. Evening, then morning. Sun, then moon, and the stars. The respective domains of the created beings, birds of the heavens, fish of the sea, land creatures, and human beings. God set boundaries, and He imaged to us as people how we are to exercise dominion within His established structure. This includes worship. God, the one who created, God, the one who structured everything with order and beauty, is not a God of chaos. He does things in a good and decent order, and He wants His people to worship Him in a good and decent order. He created boundaries between heaven and earth, between garden and land. And He requires mankind to image Him in this, especially in worship. And this is the overwhelming teaching of Scripture. We receive His pattern of life and worship by faith. We love it. We love what He's given us. That's how we start. And then we learn it. We apply it in our submission to our Lord. So again, in the beginning, God gave the first man and first woman a garden space, a sanctuary space. The garden was a garden of life. God gave life to His people. The garden was blessings of life, and that garden space was where the Lord met with his people. The garden was sacred. God with his people with God. Life, blessing, communion with God. And when Adam fell in the garden, Adam separated humanity from God. Adam did that. God had to kick us out of that sacred space. Human beings had to leave the holy presence of the triune God. And at the gates of the garden, the Lord put an angel with a flaming sword to guard the holy space. And we see that image here in Isaiah chapter 6, where the seraphim, angels with six wings, stand before the throne of God. Now through time, in his grace, the Lord has drawn his people closer and closer back into his holy presence. In Genesis, the patriarchs used altars built throughout the land. Moses and Israel built a tent, a dwelling, a tabernacle to worship God. Later, David and his son instituted worship in the temple. The tabernacle and temple, these two dwellings, reinstituted sacred space. This is where you meet with God. It is a sacred space. God with his people in his holy presence. And we hear that in Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah before the throne of God. The posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out. The house was filled with smoke. So I said, Isaiah, woe is me, for I am undone. I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. My eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. So building up, moving through history, getting closer to God, God's people were to be in awe of his holy presence. God's people were to be in awe of his majesty. Similarly, when the Lord rode his cherubim chariot to Ezekiel to call him to be a prophet, Ezekiel responded like Isaiah. Ezekiel wrote, "Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day, so was the appearance of the brightness all around the chariot. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of Yahweh. So when I saw it, I fell on my face, and I heard a voice of one speaking." When one truly meets the living God, fear and trembling is the right response. That is holy reverence. Now, for his covenant people, it's not fear of punishment, but it's the highest regard we have for our Creator and Lord. Now, because of the victory of Jesus Christ in new covenant worship, the Son brings us back, brings us fully into God's presence. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but in me." Jesus brings us to the Father. And in the church, the body of Jesus Christ, we join together, Christians join together each Lord's Day as the body. We come together in the Son. We come and we assemble. And then in the Son, we ascend together in Jesus as he brings us to the Father. We go to the Father together, united to Jesus. In that famous scene at the well, Jesus with the Samaritan woman, Jesus told the woman how new covenant people would worship. John 4, 23 and 24. "The hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth. Now, this has been debated. What does Jesus mean by this? This does not mean you worship the right way with a good attitude. This is you worship united to the Son in the bond of the Holy Spirit. Israel approached the Lord when he was a pillar of fire, and they approached through the high priest. God in his spirit, through the high priest. We approach the Father through our high priest, Jesus Christ. And we are bonded by the Holy Spirit. In the Spirit, my people will worship me. In spirit is a place. It's a place where God's people come together. It is the glory cloud of God, the presence of the Holy Spirit. That is in the Spirit. We are the dwelling of the Holy Spirit. We come together in the Spirit on the Lord's Day. In your liturgies, in the front inside cover, Revelation 4, 1 and 2, the Apostle John wrote, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, come up here. I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit. And behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne." That is worship. We go to heaven every Lord's Day. God calls us into his presence. You think about your week. You think about each day, what you're doing each day. What are you doing tomorrow? What are you doing on Tuesday? Going roller skating on Tuesday? What are you doing on Saturday? Maybe yard work? What are you doing on Sunday? We're going to heaven on Sunday. We're going to heaven to commune with the Father. And in heaven, Jesus is going to feed us. And the Spirit is going to bring us there. That really happens. It really truly happens. You need to believe it. Eyes of flesh will not see this happening, but eyes of faith will. The dwelling place of the saints, the dwelling place of the triumphant saints, is the holy presence of God in heaven. That's where we go. We go to be with the Lord when we die. The militant saints, we are privileged to be in God's presence in heaven every Lord's Day. And that begins, that worship in God's presence begins with a call. God calls us. God calls us up there, like Revelation 4 says. So, brothers and sisters, because we do this, because we go to heaven for worship every Lord's Day, our church and our worship service must reflect this reality. The worship of the church must reflect the reality that we are going to heaven. Our mood must be reverent. The music must be reverent. Everything we do must be to reveal, to show, to teach that we are going to heaven for worship. Does the church's worship reflect this? As Christians, as worshipers of the triune God, I know you're not Easter worshipers, you are worshipers of the triune God. Our preparation for worship must also reflect this high privilege. Our approach every Sunday morning even Saturday nights, ought to reflect. What are you doing tomorrow? We're going into heaven. We're going before the throne of God. This is the high point of our week, to ascend Mount Zion, to be in the throne room of God with angels and archangels all around us. Exodus 24, the Lord called Moses, Aaron, and the elders to heaven to feast. Exodus 24, Yahweh said to Moses, "Come up to Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship from afar. And Moses alone shall come near Yahweh, but the rest, shall not come near, nor shall the people go up with him." Then Moses went up, also Aaron, Nadab, and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. And there was under his feet, as it were, a paved work of sapphire stone. It was like the very heavens in its clarity. But on the nobles of the children of Israel, he did not lay his hand. So they saw God, and they ate, and they drank. It's not a typical everyday occurrence for an Israelite. It's not even a blessing that the people got to enjoy. Their representatives got to go up there. For us, in the New Covenant, we are grateful for this privilege, for we all get to go up there. And we are reverent and humble in our approach. So again, for our worship, it begins with the call. The call, God calls us back into his holy presence, back into sacred space, entirely of his grace. He thunders the call to his people, like a trumpet blaring or the ringing of the church bell. The Lord announces that worship begins. He calls his people. The awesome and holy God calls, and he meets us in his sacred space. Ezekiel, before Yahweh on his cherubim chariot, John in the throne room in heaven with the Father, Isaiah, before the glory of the Lord, we approach our Creator and Redeemer in reverence and awe. We answer his call and we ascend. Now, on the other side of this privilege, on the other side of our ascension into heaven, heaven descends to earth for this gathering. Heaven and earth meet together for worship. God comes to earth each Lord's Day. And this truth is declared throughout the Psalms. The Psalms tell us, our God shall come. Our God comes to judge. The heavens bow down and God comes down. That's his coming. In response to that, gather my saints together to me. Let us come, let us now bow down and kneel before our Maker. Let us shout, sing, clap your hands for the Lord. Ascribe the glory, do his name, exalt and worship him. The Creator comes. This is a great and awesome event. God comes to earth every Lord's Day. If I had told you last week, Jesus is coming to Odenville on Sunday, would you come? Would you come to see Jesus? Is that a big deal? Jesus is coming to Odenville? How would you prepare to meet Jesus in Odenville? In the beginning, we lost the privilege to be in the presence of God in the fall of Adam. Sin rightly exiled us. By the grace of Jesus Christ, we get to come back. The Father calls us back in the Son. And this is one of the main points about the book of Hebrews. In Hebrews 10, explains this truth to us. Hebrews 10, verse 19. Therefore, brethren, having boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus. That's what Christopher said. Because of Jesus. Having the boldness to enter the holiest by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, not by the blood of bulls and goats, by a new and living way, which he consecrated for us through the firmament, that is his flesh, and having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. And being here, let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. For if we sin willfully after having received the knowledge of the truth, there's no longer remains a sacrifice for sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. Brothers and sisters, because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can come back to the Father together. Thanks be to God. And Hebrews says, don't take this gathering lightly. Don't dismiss such a high privilege. Don't you love in the service, in the liturgy, where we declare together our sins are forgiven? Thanks be to God. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can come back to the Father. Because of the finished work of Jesus Christ, we can go to heaven. Thanks be to God. We will wait in line to get into special venues. We'll camp out to get really good bourbon. We'll wait in line. We'll pay exorbitant prices to go to great events. We will get on waiting lists to join clubs or to get season tickets to sporting events. What are you doing on Sunday? The corporate worship of the triune God. We're going to enter into the divine council in heaven. Father, Son, Spirit, privilege us to come. God calls us. He demands that we come. Because he knows it is good for us. It is good for us to worship him. It is a blessing and a privilege. Now, I know that there are many churches around us. Many churches you drive by. It's not hard to find a church. It's not hard to find a Sunday service. And because of that, we are tempted to regard it too lightly. There's corporate worship going on all over the place. There's bodies everywhere, assembling together. And because it happens so frequently, we are tempted to regard it lightly. It happens once a week. Just because something happens often does not mean we ought to regard it lightly. Like the preaching of the word, the administration of the sacrament. We ought to hold it in high regard. So, brothers and sisters, let us revere God so highly that when we enter into his presence each Lord's Day, we feel compelled to drop to our knees and bow down. Now, we don't have to hide. We don't fear punishment. due to sin, like Adam did. But we feel compelled because of the reverence and awe of all that we have for Almighty God. The reverence and awe we come with for worship. True worship, real worship. Worship that is not entertaining or not made for entertainment. God is not a performer for our amusement, nor are our worship leaders, whether it's Christopher or me or Caleb or Gabby. We're not here for your entertainment, where you sit back and you just enjoy the show. No. Worship is God's service to us in which we participate, and we are blessed through that. When the church reveres God, when our worship reflects reverence, we don't need flashy attractions. We don't need gimmicks to make worship fun. When the true and the living God confronted Isaiah, do you hear Isaiah complain that this wasn't a God he felt like he could relate to? The holy presence before the throne wasn't very comfortable in there. You didn't hear Isaiah say that. No, Isaiah just dropped to his knees. And he gave an account to God. Woe is me. I am undone. He saw God and he offered homage. And Scripture reveals that New Covenant worship is greater in reverence and holy fear. Our worship is to be greater in reverence than what Isaiah did. Our worship is to be have more reverence than Ezekiel drops before God. Because our Lord approaches the church from heaven. We confessed earlier, Hebrews 12. Then the old covenant, he spoke to them from earth. In the new covenant, he speaks to us from heaven. So new covenant worship. 1 Corinthians 14. When worship is done rightly, in a right and orderly manner, and an unbeliever or an uninformed person comes in, he is convinced by all, he is convicted by all, and thus the secrets of his heart are revealed. And so, falling down on his face, he will worship God and report that God is truly among you. Right worship, holy worship, reverent worship is a terrifying thing to unbelievers. That they declare that God is truly among you. It's a terrifying thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And that's why Hebrews 10 warns. Worship God rightly. In his mercy and his grace, he calls us. He wants us here to commune with him. He is truly with us. So we worship in the presence of holiness, the awesome presence of Almighty God. Brothers and sisters, fulfill the purpose for which you were created. He made you for this. And this is good for you to be here. To commune with the divine fellowship of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now at the conclusion of our service, heaven will go back up and we will descend down the mountain. We'll leave the presence of God by faith. We're not expelled like Adam was in the garden. No. We were fallen men and women who've been redeemed in Jesus Christ, and we are being restored to our right imaging of God in the world. We will descend the mountain to go image God rightly to the world. We come to be in the presence of God, to go out and show God to the world, to leave here, to carry out the mandate of the church, to remake, to glorify the world. Of all the fallen humans in the world today, right now, all those image bearers who are corrupted by sin, the church, we are the only people who've been with God today. Of those made in his image, the church is the only group of people who've been in God's presence today. So who's going to bring God to the world? Who's going to faithfully image the Lord still affected by sin? The world that is still affected by sin. It's us. It's the people who have the Holy Spirit. It's the people who have been with God, who've been told what the purpose of life is, what the purpose of the world is. It's us. Those enslaved, those darkened in sin, don't know what it all means, what it's all about. They're estranged. They're in enmity with God. We have the responsibility and privilege to bring God to the world. And that begins with his call upon us. So let us rejoice in this privilege that we have here and the privilege we carry out in our lives. And let us go forth in word and deed to declare the goodness that we have heard this morning and that we've been given this day. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, you've destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we, who've been raised with him, may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through the same Jesus Christ our Lord, to whom with thee and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise forever and ever. Amen.